Blog Talk Radio.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and Weekly.
Paranormal.com.
Weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to the ghost host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 12 years of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com and History FM, and now on ghosthunting.com has been added as well. Spreaker has just been added to along the podcast lineups, where you can listen to every show and catch the archive show too as well. Thank you, Rob Sarek, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators, thank you guys over the years for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys so much. Also, feel free to call into the show at 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 as well. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. Facebook share is Tracy the Paranormal and former Paranormal Technologies, Daryl Marston, Don, Travis, Harvey, Alexandra, Marilyn, Lourdes, Audria, Jerry, Julia, Stephanie. Thank you guys for sharing the show each and every week. And this today's show too as well on Facebook. Thank you guys for all your support through the years. Today, we welcome Hauntings Around America, Volumes 1 and 2, and A Haunting Diary, Investigations with a Ghost Hunter, author and paranormal investigator Aaron Egnance. Everyone visit hauntingsaroundamerica.com, Instagram at Hauntings Around America, YouTube search Hauntings Around America, Hauntings Around America, Volumes 1 and 2, and A Haunting Diary, available through Amazon.com today. Upcoming, we have Hauntings Files Paranormal Investigators Eric Vanderland and Michael Del Coro. They'll be on the 18th next weekend. Also, Ghosted Magazine CEO is April, the psychic housewife. And Michael Castro will be on talking about ghostedmagazine.com. That'll be on the 1st of June. Ethereal Paranormal Voices lead investigator Richard Johnson will be on the program on June 8th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. So, like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. And also to like the liveparanormal.com Facebook group page and check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the members here. So a lot of autograph books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. He's great at rewarding everyone. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here at Chip Coffee of Kindred Spirits is here on this very network, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, King Gearhard, and many more on this network. If you miss anything, free archive shows are available as MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage. And let's bring on the host here. Sophia, congratulations on over 12 years of broadcasting here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been over 12 years.
Yeah, and you got some cool things coming up. Congratulations. You're featured in the new book, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. How cool is that?
It's super cool. I cannot thank the incredible authors enough for including me as part of their book. It's been amazing, and I just really appreciate it.
Yeah, your story there, and also too on Ghosted Magazine the publishers and chief, they'll be on the program too for ghostedmagazine.com. You're featured in there too. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Michael and April, the owners of the magazine, are so incredible. They're friends of the show. They will actually be coming on in just over a month, I think, to talk about some events they have in the magazine again. They are incredible. Everyone check out Ghosted Magazine. But I can't thank them enough either for, having me a part of the magazine. It's their third issue, and I just really can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, things are coming together for you. I mean, and with your super sleuthing, you found my biological dad being adopted and all after 53 years. And now you found my mom, your grandmother, Aggie. How cool is that?
Oh, my God. It's so cool. I have a grandma, Aggie. If anyone's seen Halloween Town, you will know that, that's just so exciting for me. I have my very own grandma, Aggie. She's incredible. She's funny. She's amazing. She roasted you the second day she had known you. So that already put her at 100 in my book, incredible, incredible stuff.
Yeah. She didn't miss a day of it. Just started roasting
her, baby. I sent her a picture of you as a kid. She said a face only a mother could love.
Yes. You did say that. And, but I put her through a lot of labor pain in the face.
For everyone knows, she's so nice, but my God, her humor is next level. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met. So if you're listening to this, Grandma Aggie, shout out to you. I love you. You're amazing. She's great. I love her.
And you got all these things. You got the Twitter, the Instagram, all these different things. You got your YouTube channel. Where can people find you?
I'm on, YouTube. You can watch some previous archived interviews. The Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on YouTube. You can look me up on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli, Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name is too long.
Yeah, I know. We cursed you with a long name. So, just drop an L and you can find Sophia anywhere. Exciting. Tell us about your guest today.
Today we welcome Hauntings Around America, Volumes 1 and 2, and A Haunting Diary, Investigations with a Ghost Hunter, author and paranormal investigator Aaron Egnat. Everyone visit hauntingsaroundamerica.com, Instagram at hauntingsaroundamerica, YouTube search hauntingsaroundamerica, and you can look up her book titles on amazon.com. Let's welcome Erin into the show.
Erin, hey, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate having me. I'm excited. I was listening to your intro, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of cool people that have been on here.
Well, thank you. We're super excited to have you on, and you do some amazing work within the field. But for you, what initially got you started? Do you have experiences when you were younger?
Yeah, actually, it started on a family trip to Gettysburg, of all places, of course. We were touring the battlefield, and my mom and I were kind of standing over to the side, and we saw these reenactors. And we kind of watched them begin to walk a little ways. And it seemed like they just, like, glitched out, disappeared. And then all of a sudden, they were about 20 feet back from where they were, and they started again. It was the weirdest thing, and we kind of looked at each other. Then we called my dad over, and we're like, hey, you know, those reenactors are acting really weird. And, you know, we both pointed them out, and he's like, I don't see anything. And my sister didn't see anything, but my mom and I definitely did. So that kind of kick-started it.
Well, that's amazing. It's always the family trips that get you. My parents started with a tour on their anniversary, so it really is always a family affair in the paranormal.
Absolutely.
So with you and your mom actually both seeing it, do you and your mom have, like, an ability, or was that just kind of, like, do you have an ability?
Believe I do. I can sense. I've been doing it so long that I can kind of tell, you know, I can tell that there's a ghost over there, you know, but I could not see them like some mediums can. I can't communicate with them, but I can definitely feel like the different, I like to call it like, you know, when it lightens and is really close to you and your hair stands up, it's kind of that electricity. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely get that. I can sense them too, but I don't know what's there. I like to say it's like those Geico commercials with the dental monitor. There's like, are you going to fix my cavity? And he's like, no, I'm just a dental monitor. You can tell it's there, but you cannot go beyond that.
Exactly. Yep.
And like I said in the intro, you have written some books. Did you always have an interest in writing, or did that come about after, you know, starting your interest in the paranormal?
I always enjoyed writing. It was never really a chore for me. Now, I didn't really think I was going to write books. Hauntings Around America kind of started as a blog where I would just spotlight random places across the country. So I'd give a little bit of the history along with the supposed hauntings of each spot. About a year into my Hauntings Around America, people were like, well, why don't you compile it into books? I was like, okay, I could do that. And then I really enjoyed it. So that's where two and then the A Haunting Diary came from, because it was more fun than I realized.
Well, I mean, that's super great that you were able to take your work that people loved and make it into kind of just one place for them to go and see it all at once in a book format. So from your original experience in Gettysburg, how did you really start your process into the field of the paranormal? Did it start with your blog, or were you going out on investigations? How did that really progress for you from having that initial experience to where you are now?
It started when I was, I have to do the math. It's been so long now. After the Gettysburg experience, it was probably 3 years. I got into high school, and my history teacher was also a ghost hunter. He was part of Indiana Ghost Tracers.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was kind of what got me into actual investigating, because he did this, it was called a Saturday field trip, so you didn't have to go, but you definitely could. And we went to all the haunted locations around the Chicago area, because we live right in the Chicago area. And so he tied in history and ghosts. And at the end of it, he had us, you know, meet some of the top people with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, and then I got involved from there.
Well, that's a super cool and fun way to learn. I mean, that sure makes, you know, the learning process really interactive and fun. which is always better when you're in school, especially high school. It can be boring.
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, with that, did you ever join a team after that, or did you just really have that interest and then go off on your own and start finding these locations yourself?
I just started finding them myself. I want to say that I had to be 18 to join the Indiana Ghost Trackers, and I wasn't 18 yet, so I kind of just started doing my own thing with some of my friends. I would drag them along. Sometimes I would drag my mom along. But it was just one of those things that I kind of just did on my own. I would find the location. Sometimes I would contact the owner, you know, if it was like an indoor place, and be like, hey, you know, can we check it out? And a lot of times they would be really open to it, which is surprising with me not being an established team at that point. But it really kept the fire going. I never actually joined a team myself, though.
Well, I mean, that's super cool that you just really did go out and do it. What was your research process through it all? Was it firsthand accounts from people, or were you, you know, going to libraries and stuff and cracking open books?
For the most part, it was word of mouth, but a lot of times I would start referencing, I want to say, I can't remember the website now. I want to say it's like Shadowlands or something. It was like the first real paranormal locator basically all over the country. So I started using that, and I would also contact people that I knew either owned it or had been to a location, and that's really where the research began. Now with the internet like it is, it's a lot easier to find that stuff than it was back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my dad is mentioning in the show, we just found his birth mom, and I've been looking for quite a long time, but only recently could I find her. You know, research is really hard, and with the internet, it really does make it a lot easier.
Absolutely. That's incredible, by the way.
Thanks, yeah. I've been trying since I was, like, 12. I was, like, asking psychics, like, hey, can you help me find my grandma? Like, I've tried really hard. So I definitely understand how the progression of the internet really helped with, you know, tracking down the history of these places.
Absolutely, yes.
And when you were going to these locations, what is kind of the craziest or most interesting experience you've had while investigating them?
I would say the craziest is when I was still getting started, so I didn't really know all of the rules to ghost hunting. And we went to this place in Valparaiso, Indiana. It was a former insane asylum. And it looks like an old mansion, to be honest. It doesn't look like a lot of the hospitals you would think of today. But they kept what they considered the worst of the worst as far as patients go down below. And it was a horrible location. It was, I can't imagine being pretty much subjected to these kind of conditions. You know, there was no ground. It was only dirt. You couldn't stand all the way up. It was horrible. So you knew going in that you're probably not going to have some very happy spirits. And I did not. We took turns going into the rooms one by one. And when it was my turn, it seemed super, super dark, more so than it should have, you know, like unnaturally dark. And I started feeling very uncomfortable very quickly. And then I just told my friends, I was like, okay, I'm coming out. I can't handle this. And the odd thing was there was no latch or anything on the door. It, you know, there was nothing. There's no lock or anything, but none of us could get the door open. It would not open. And I started panicking because I was very young and very inexperienced. So I was really letting emotion take over, and I was pushing as hard as I could, but it would not open. They were pulling on the other side. They couldn't get it open. I was practically in tears. And it went on for about 10 minutes before finally it just eased open. I don't know what happened. I don't know why, but for me, that was the most terrifying because I couldn't get out, so I didn't like it very much.
Absolutely. I don't even think that has anything to do with you just starting out. I think that would be scary for pretty much anyone. I don't think anyone really wants to be trapped in a room like that, so I mean, that's definitely a very scary thing to have happen.
Yeah.
Yes, it was definitely intense.
And through all the places you've gone and the research you've done, what is the most interesting or craziest fact that you've learned about a location?
I would say Waverly Hills, which I was just there last week. You know, it seems to just be surprise after surprise when you go there. Going in, I thought that, you know, 100,000 people had died there, but from what I learned with research, it was actually, the number was much lower. It was only, I say only, but still a lot. Anywhere from 20,000 or less, but all the stories were, you know, very, very high, like 100,000, but that turns out to not be the case. So for me, you know, finding out that the death wasn't as widespread as they made it seem, but still one of the most haunted places I've ever been. I have never been there when I haven't had an experience. So I find that place just a wealth of mystery.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, you know, surprising when you hear one fact like that and then learn, you know, either the number being lower or higher. I mean, it's shocking just to find out the real accurate history of a location.
Right. Yes.
And speaking of locations, like we were mentioning, you've gone to some incredible places. In your hauntings around America, I know that they originally started on your blog, but can you tell the audience what are some of the locations and their backstory from each book?
Sure. The first one has the majority of the more well-known locations. So Tombstone, Gettysburg, I'm trying to think of what else would be on there. I think St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida, that's another one. And the second one, it's more of obscure locations, ones that people wouldn't necessarily think of. I tried to get one from each and every state for the second one. So you will have more of your, like, Wyoming ghost towns and locations like that.
I mean, that's incredible. Are you thinking of creating a third volume as well?
I would love to. I don't know if I'll just go back to just putting them there. But as of right now, I have about 20 new stories that I want to put out.
That's definitely a lot. It's incredible. And when you're writing these stories, how long does it take for you, like, start to finish to actually go about writing about each location?
Usually it only takes me about 10 minutes per location. The longest part of it is the research, which, again, thanks to the internet, makes it a lot easier to find a lot of facts. Mm-hmm. But I also like to be as close to fact as possible. I know sometimes it's hard to have, you know, when it comes to ghost hunting, you know, did that really happen? I don't know. So I try and leave the ones that are more subjective out, and I try to stick to only facts. That part can be daunting, and that could take anywhere from, you know, a couple minutes to hours to get it right per story.
Absolutely. I think that's just the hardest part is researching and sifting through information. When you're doing these locations, do you have, like, your favorite pieces of equipment you like to go in there and use? What is your process when investigating?
So I'm one of those that you will not see pull up with $1 billion worth of equipment. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I'll walk off and forget it anyway. That's why I stopped bringing it. But my go-to, honestly, is my phone. I can use the voice recorder. I can just use the video. That's pretty much what I go to. I rely heavily on audio and visual, less so on some of the newer gadgets. I'm not saying they don't work, but a lot of times I will forget them or leave them in a spot, so I just stop carrying them, and I stick to my video.
Absolutely. I'm kind of the same way. I just don't like carrying a lot of stuff. I'm, like, more of, like, a sloth human. I'm not really into the tactile feeling stuff. So I love equipment that's, you know, small and you can carry on you pretty easily. So I definitely understand your thought process behind that. And, you know, if your phone does have a voice recorder and a camera and all these things you can use, that you can attach flickers to it. So it's pretty versatile nowadays.
Exactly, yes.
And with these locations, I know you said that you walk around. Did you, I know when you were younger, you went with your friends. Do you like to walk around by yourself now that, you know, you're more seasoned as an investigator, or do you still go, you know, with friends and stuff?
Usually I do like to do it by myself. It's not recommended for anyone listening who wants to get into ghost hunting. It's not recommended, but I do like to do it now. Now, you know, I know what to expect after 20 years. I know, you know, when I need to leave. Now, when I do investigations, oftentimes I open it up and let my followers come. I try and keep it, you know, low in price. If it's free, then, you know, I don't charge anyone. But, you know, for something like Waverly, I'll open it up to about 8 people that can join me. And I've had really good success with that because I like to get other people to try out the paranormal, see if they like it or not. So I like doing that because that wasn't really available when I was first getting into it.
Absolutely. The field has changed so much through the years. I mean, I talk about this a lot on my show, but I think it's really nice just seeing how the field is more accepted and, you know, people are sharing their own paranormal experiences and really opening their mind to the possibility of ghosts in the afterlife.
Yes, yes. And I love to see it because back, you know, when Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures came out, you know, yeah, it was liked, but it wasn't where it is today.
Absolutely. And as you were saying, you wouldn't recommend that people starting out go by themselves to a location, but what advice would you give to people wanting to get involved with the field and go out and investigate?
My biggest piece of advice would be to look, you know, look on Eventbrite or just Google, you know, a paranormal location close to you. A lot of times they will have public nights or local ghost hunter crews. Like, I know you said Mike and Eric are going to be on your team or your show next week. I went down and investigated with them. I know they do some open nights as well. They would be a great one to learn from. But, yeah, just go online. A lot of paranormal investigators do these now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's great advice. Like you said, it is hard to start out and walk around by yourself. You never know what's there and everything. But that is really good advice to just go find someone in the field. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Our guest today, we welcome Hauntings Around America, Volumes 1 and 2, and A Haunting Diary Investigations with a Ghost Hunter, author, and paranormal investigator, Aaron Egnitz. Everyone visit hauntingsaroundamerica.com, Instagram at hauntingsaroundamerica, YouTube search hauntingsaroundamerica, and hauntingsaroundamerica volumes 1 and 2, and A Haunting Diary available on amazon.com now. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back with the late edition of the show.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Come on, all night. This is psychic medium Erica Busterhaney with Second Sight Paranormal TV, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Yeah, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Poor Dave left out of the audio bites there, but he made it in. And feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Showtime Podcast is in the chat room right now, too, as well. So any questions for our guests, make sure that they're all caps. I'm unmuting everybody right now. It means a lot of people are listening because it's slow toggling. But there we go. Sophia and Aaron, we have you back on.
Hey, Aaron, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Hey, yes, thank you. I'm having a great time.
I'm having a really great time, too. And, you know, speaking of all the cool places you've been to and everything you've written, you're a very busy person. So, again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come on today. But as we were speaking of your books earlier, you also wrote A Haunting Diary, Investigations with a Ghost Hunter. And I really want to make sure the audience, you know, is able to get to know each of your books. So if you could tell the audience what inspired you to write this book and what they can expect from reading it.
So that one's a little different than the Hauntings Around America 1 and 2, because those are just spotlighting locations that are said to be haunted. But A Haunting Diary, Investigations with a Ghost Hunter, is basically my firsthand experience at these locations. You'll get Gettysburg, Tombstone, the USS Lexington, which is down in Corpus Christi. I'm trying to think of the other ones, but there's quite a few in there. A lot of them are around Indiana and Chicago. But there's a few that are spread out throughout the country.
I mean, it is really cool, like I said, that you're able to highlight not only these locations, but your experiences at these locations. Because everyone, when they investigate a certain place, like for me, I've investigated the Queen Mary a lot. And every single time you go, you experience something completely different. And sometimes you go, nothing happens. Sometimes you go, so much happens. And the same with people who investigate there. So I think it's great, you know, when people share their stories and their experiences, because someone else who went to that same location could be like, wow, I didn't know that happened there. Or, oh my God, I had the exact same thing and I didn't know that anyone else experienced that.
Yes, that's a big thing. You know, I'll have people that said, you know, I did the Whispers Estate in Indiana. It's supposed to be super haunted, but nothing happened. And, you know, that's what I try and tell them. Sometimes nothing happens. Sometimes they don't want to interact mm-hmm. with you. Sometimes they're having an off night. It is what it is. But everybody's experience is completely different, like you said. And I always thought that was interesting. That's why I wanted to throw A Haunting Diary out there, you know, mix it up a bit.
For sure. And, you know, speaking of everyone's experiences being different, I lived in a haunted house, and that particular ghost really did not show itself to men. It was only focused on women. When you're doing these investigations, have you found any similar circumstances where there's ghosts that are really only focused on a certain type of people, or, you know, more interested in talking to one person at a location?
Yes, I have two locations in particular I can think of. One of them was at Gettysburg at the Bolidary Inn, which was used as a field hospital during the battle. There is a certain soldier, they say it's a soldier, I don't know, who likes to mess with women, especially blonde women. And when I went there, you know, I had the bleached blonde hair and everything. And I remember I was going to sleep, and then all of a sudden I feel the other side of the bed just like sink. And I was like, okay, well, this must be him. And throughout my whole stay, he would be really, really interactive. He would throw my cameras. He would, you know, knock clothes off or whatever. He would just do stuff. But the innkeeper told me that when there's a man in there, nothing. He doesn't do anything. It's only when blonde women are in there.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, ghosts will have a type too, so that's great that you were able to document that. Yeah, I just don't want someone who's living doing that.
I know.
Yeah, I can only think of that like TikTok sound, like, oh, I think Motomoto likes you. It's just like have a ghost chasing you around. Well, that's incredible. And, you know, like you said, you having experiences like that, have you had one location in particular that you would just really love to follow up and go do a reinvestigation of?
Yes, that would be Tombstone. I think it's called the Birdcage Theater. I can't even think. I'm drawing a blank. When I went there, it was not active at all. And I was so sad because I really wanted something. And, you know, other people have had experiences, but I was one of those that caught it on an off night. So I would like to go back and try again.
Yeah, I completely understand that. I tried to investigate the Birdcage, but it was super hot, and I just don't do well in the heat, so I really didn't make it more than, like, 10 minutes. It was, like, not a good night. I didn't capture anything except for trying not to pass out.
Yeah, it gets really hot. I know when I got there, it was, like, 122 degrees, and I was like, how do you people handle this? And, you know, you get the whole, it's a dry heat, and I'm like, yeah, it may be, but it's hot, and I can't handle it.
I don't care if it's dry or it's humid, I just can't take it. And they had the swamp cooler on, but the swamp cooler would kick on the heater, and I'm like, why is that a thing? I'm like, no. So I totally get what you mean. That would be a great one to see what you get there, and hopefully when you go, it's not 1,000 degrees.
Right, yes.
And, you know, with your work as an author, what have you found is, like, what advice would you give to someone wanting to write a book? I know that there's so much changes in every part of the entertainment and creative industry lately. How would you suggest that someone who wants to write a book on ghosts go about doing that?
I would say the first thing is to not give up, because you're going to sit down, you're going to write a paragraph, and then you're going to think, why isn't it going very quickly? And then you'll get frustrated and walk away. I did it so many times. But eventually I realized, you know, this is just a setback. Everybody has writer's block. It is what it is. Just, you know, power through. When I had issues like that, what I would do is switch over to my research, you know, really dig into research, get your brain, you know, moving again, and then you can go back and write. So the two things I would recommend are not giving up on yourself, and make sure you do the research correctly, because you don't want someone to come back and be like, well, that is a lie. You know, you don't want that. So make sure you're doing your research.
Absolutely. I mean, that's great advice. I know a few times when I've done something, I filmed a video at Black Star, and I was just doing research really quickly before we went with a friend, and, like, everything we found online was not right, and everyone's like, that's not what happened. I'm like, I don't know where you guys are going to get your information. Like, everything I read was completely wrong. So it's, you know, so important to get your information and research right, and that can be hard to do and time consuming, but it's definitely worth it in the end.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, speaking of locations and research, is there one location, or at least a top three, that you would love to investigate if you could go anywhere in the world?
I really want to do a castle. I've always wanted to do a castle. I don't care where the castle is. I just want to do a castle. I have some friends in the UK, and we're trying to set that up now, and we'll see how that works out. But that would be fun. I think the Tower of London would be fun. I would imagine that's awfully haunted. Yeah, those would be my two spots. I mean, I love doing the U.S. It's obviously easier. I enjoy a lot of the East Coast locations. I would like to go back to Lizzie Borden. I only got to be in there for like an hour, so I didn't really spend a lot of time. I would like to do that one.
Yeah, those are great locations. I mean, yeah, Europe has so much history, and it really is amazing just how old stuff is there. it really pales in comparison to America. You see stuff that's old here, and it's from, like, the 1700s, which is super old, but they have, like, stuff from the 11 and 1200s, which is insane.
Yes. Yes. It's wild, and I think it would be just so much fun just to even walk through it, even if it's not haunted, just to walk through it would be fun.
Absolutely. And, I mean, with all of these locations, like you said, you've had some incredible experiences with, you know, ghosts kind of flirting with you overnight and stuff. Have you ever had an experience with something that you really couldn't explain, that you weren't sure if it was a ghost or what it could have been?
I did have one experience. You know, I'm one of those people that's not likely to call something a demon or whatever because, you know, there's just some ghosts that are just not nice. But there was this one time I did a jail in Crown Point, Indiana. It's where John Dillinger made his famous escape back in, like, 1933 or 34, sometime around then. I was doing that one, and, of course, I brought my mom along because, you know, none of my friends were even remotely interested. They were all terrified of the place. It, you know, its reputation preceded itself. So she and I were sitting there, and everything was fine. We had the lights on because she was a little nervous, and then something, I could have swore it was a bat, started circling us. And I was like, what is wrong with that bat? They don't usually go around in circles, especially in the light. She's like, I don't think that's a bat. I was like, what else would it be? But each time that it circled us, it got a little bit bigger, and it looked like a black ball. And I'm like, okay, this is really weird. This is really, really weird. Maybe we should go and take a break and then come back. So we start walking down the stairs, and she gets about halfway, and then she just stops. I was like, what are you doing? Why are we stopping? I want to go out for a little bit. We need a break. And she, her voice just completely lost all inflection. She's like, we need to go back up. And I was like, what are you talking about? We're not going back up there. You know, at the least, it's some kind of crazy bat trying to attack us. We're not going back up there. And she's like, no, I think we do. Her eyes were, like, glazed over, and she starts to walk back up the stairs. I was like, are you out of your mind? And it didn't sound like her at all. So I kind of grabbed her arm. I started banging on stuff to get her attention, and I was like, come on, we're leaving. And as soon as we were through the threshold back out, she was completely normal again. Everything was fine. Her voice had went back to normal, and she didn't remember any of it. So that was a little
funny. Wow. Yeah, that's definitely a scary experience to have happen. It, you know, like we said earlier in the show, you never know what you're going to get on investigations. Had you heard of anything, like, kind of unusual at that location? Had you ever heard of any reports from other people of having strange experiences like that?
I didn't until afterwards. And then all the stories came out. So apparently there is a corner that they call Possession Corner, so that's not good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, that would have been nice to know ahead of time, but it was close to where we were. And I guess that it pretty much has a long history, at least 10-year history, because that's when they kind of really started documenting that stuff. So it's been around for a while, and it's a very dark entity of some sort.
Yeah, that definitely would have been nice to know going in there, because I would have stayed away from that corner. I'm not trying to get through that. But, I mean, speaking of incredible experiences, it looks like you investigated the Mark Twain House. Can you tell the audience about your experience there?
So for that one, I was basically just getting to do a tour. But it was one of those where I'm a history nerd. I'm a historian. That's my day job. So if there's some kind of historical place, I'm going to be there. And I was literally the only person there at the time. I guess other people wanted to do other things. So I was kind of walking around, and I got that feeling that I get, you know, the electric charge. And I really wanted to do more as far as investigating, because you knew something was wanting to interact or show itself or whatever, but I had to keep moving. So that was depressing, but going off of my feeling alone, there was definitely something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's super cool. I have an interest in literature. So, I mean, that's amazing you got to go there. And it looks like you also went to Sleepy Hollow's old Dutch church as well.
Yes, that is one of my favorites. I absolutely love it. I don't recommend going in October. The first time I went in October, and it was everybody on the East Coast that was also there. So don't do that. But the second time I went, it was early September, and I had the place to myself. And it, I mean, even if you just like history, there's some that date back to the 1600s. The building itself, the old Dutch church, I think it's from the 1680s or 90s, something like that. There's a lot of energy there. Definitely worth taking a trip around.
I mean, that's awesome. You got to go to both of those places. And you went to the New Orleans, the mortuary as well. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yes. Now, that trip is what kind of kick-started hauntings around America because, you know, I had kids and stuff, so I kind of got away from it. But I went down for actually a business trip, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go check this place out. It felt dark. It felt, like, really, really dark. But it was so exciting, you know, to get back into the paranormal. That really kickstarted it, and I credit that with hauntings around America. I think the mortuary now, I think they turned that into a haunted house during Halloween. So if that's your thing, that would be a really creepy place to check out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how many haunted houses are actually haunted houses nowadays.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of them. I guess it's a good way to make money, and it's definitely scary, more scary than the regular ones.
For sure. And can you tell us, Erin, about the Reeder Road legend in Indiana?
Yes, Reeder Road is very, very famous around here. So it used to be a road. Now it is a dead end where the majority of the hauntings are. You have to get out and walk. There was an old train track that went through there, and supposedly some people were killed on the tracks. There was also an old church that was further down, also on Reeder Road, and supposedly the preacher one day just lost his mind, locked everybody in, and burnt it down. So,
wow.
I don't know. Yeah, very, very dark. So that location is very, very popular with a lot of amateurs, you know, because it's outdoors, so you don't feel as intimidated, I guess, as, like, the buildings would feel. I haven't caught too much there. Now, I have caught what I do believe are real orbs. You know, there's a big difference in the dust and then the real orbs, and the reason I say that is because I caught one with a face in it, so, you know, that kind of helps. But this was back in the days of having film in your camera, so I need to find that picture. But for the most part, Reeder Road is a legend that will it spawns several different stories. The most famous, of course, is a girl who is said to be in white who hitchhikes. I don't really believe that that is actually what happened, Reeder Road. I think the church is more likely the reason for that than the hitchhiking ghost.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an incredible story, and, you know, it's amazing. I know you didn't capture much there, but, you know, just the history and whether it's true or not, I mean, just how much, you know, kind of legends and folklore gets passed around to people in the town, and, you know, whether it's derived from history or not is, I think, always the question. I feel like, you know, there's always that saying, every legend, there's always a little bit of truth in it.
Exactly, yes.
And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, and I don't want you to get cut off. So can you tell the audience about any events, appearances, books, blogs, anything you would like to mention at all? Just let people know where they can find you.
Sure. So this summer I'll be holding a lot of events. We just did our Waverly Hills one. We're going to try and do another one in the fall. I'm going to have a couple events at the Crown Point Jail, which is the one I mentioned earlier with the creepy dark entity. I'm going to be doing a couple of investigations out in Gettysburg, and then I will also be holding a private one at the St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida. So if you go to my website, hauntingsaroundamerica.com, or Facebook or Instagram, Hauntings Around America, I will have all of that posted on there.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's incredible work you do, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on today. It's been amazing getting to talk with you and hear all of your stories.
Thank you, and I so appreciate you having me.
Oh,
well,
thanks,
thank you,
Erin.
I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, thank you. Wow, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Erin was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you. I would say I'll talk to you next weekend, but it's Mother's Day, so I will talk to you the weekend after that, and I hope you all have a great Mother's Day weekend. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, and I'll be wishing my mom a happy first Mother's Day now that you've reconnected.
Yeah, because I tracked her down, even though you said, oh, my mom doesn't want to talk to me. I said she just didn't get my message the first time. I'll come find her.
Yeah, well, yeah, she didn't get the first message, but yeah, so we'll be doing that. And happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Absolutely. Happy Mother's Day, guys. Bye.
Including Erin, and as our guest today, and Hauntings Around America, Volumes 1 and 2, and A Haunting Diary, available on Amazon.com. As she mentioned on Facebook, Hauntings Around America, hauntingsaroundamerica.com for events. As she mentioned, yeah, she has Waverly Hills coming up in the fall. She also has St. Augustine's Lighthouse. So anywhere with Erin, hauntingsaroundamerica.com, Instagram at hauntingsaroundamerica, YouTube as well. Great videos there too by Erin. Hauntings Around America in both volumes 1 and 2 and A Haunting Diary, amazon.com. Next week, happy Mother's Day, everybody, but the following week is May 18th, we have Haunting Files Paranormal Investigators Eric Vanderlyn and Michael Del Coro. They know Erin too as well, so we'll be talking to them about her. GhostedMagazine.com is where you go to get the magazine. Ghosted Magazine CEOs April, the Psychic Housewife of New Jersey, and Michael Castro will be on the program on June 1st. Ethereal Voices Paranormal Lead Investigator Richard Johnson will be on the program June 8th. We have other guests who are securing their spots too as well. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of all the guests as we learn of them real time. Great show, everybody, and we'll see you 2 weeks from today. Happy Mother's Day next week to everybody.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, SC on Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.